Last night, the disciples had supper with Jesus, their last meal together before he was betrayed. After prayer in the garden, he was arrested, tortured and questioned until the next day. That day the mob cried out, "Crucify him!" Thus we rose as Sharon was crushed on the cross. A rich man named Joseph took care of the body, while Mary and loved ones mourned their precious loss. Last night they buried the rose in the garden. The fragrance of sorrow hung thick in the air. Satan was breathing a sigh of relief, while angels were silently burying their grief. God knew that his son would arise in great power, but for now he was waiting and counting the hours. Mary and Martha spent the third morning gathering spices and watched for sunrise. The disciples were hiding, defeated and grieving, too distraught to remember Christ said he would rise. The soldiers were sleeping outside of the grave, unaware that their prisoner was stirring inside. The stone rolled away, Jesus stepped from the darkness. The dawning of hope had finally arrived. This morning the rose blooms in the garden. The fragrance of victory still fills the air. Last night there was weeping with no consolation, but this morning, rejoicing in the God of salvation. Today there is hope in the morning light. What a difference God made between now and last night. No matter how hopeless and final the night, it has to give way to the Son of pure light, the Son of pure light. This morning the rose blooms in the garden. The fragrance of victory still fills the air. Last night there was weeping with no consolation, but this morning rejoicing if it was in the God of salvation. Today there is hope in the morning light. What a difference God made between now and last night.
Last night.
Last night.
Last night.
Yeah, I listened to
you. Hey, Sandborn.
There's a friend who's closer than a brother. In a world that's changing every day. And there's a love that's flowing from the Father. When the world is running low on faith. Even in the moments I've been shaken, I know I have never been forsaken. He's never moved, he's never changed. No matter what I do, no matter what I say, he's still the same. He's always been faithful, even when I go straight. He's never moved, he's never changed, he's still the same. There are times it seems I've been forgotten, and it feels like he's so far away. But I find he's right there where I left him, Every single time I go to pray.
Good morning. Glad everybody could be here today. We're going to have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for how you love us. Thank you for what you did on the cross. Lord, I ask that you be with the ones that are sick and away from us to get better and come back. And Lord, we thank you for the ones that were sick and are back. Lord, we ask that you be with the services today. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I forgot to put them over there. 472. 472. This is my Father's world. 472. Turn over to 191. 191. In my heart rings a melody. 191.
I have a song when Jesus gave me. Will
sing, to me the song of glorious harmony. When heaven rings, in my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. Amen. Thank you for singing. Thank you, ma'am. All right. It's Sanctity of Life Sunday is today, and so we want to make sure we pray for our government and the lawmakers that we can, that they'll make the right choices on pro-life. 2026 Vision Night is this evening and the evening service. Wednesday the 21st, Bible preaching and prayer at 7 with Patch Club. Bus visitation, church-wide Operation Saturation and Soul Winning at 10 on Saturday the 24th. February 12th through the 14th is the Living United Couples Retreat. If there's information on the back, and you can go to the information in the on the website. February 20th, youth rally at Temple. The 22nd through the 26th of February, David Korn will be here. And then March 15th through the 18th, we'll be having a revival with Brother Sam Davis. So those are all the announcements. If you don't have them, there's the bulletins in the back. Having a hard time talking this morning.
I hope. Me too. That happens, so. All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see Jack and Diane back. See you back there, and good to have all the visitors with us. Damien over here, right? Damien, and it's good to have you all here in our adult Sunday school class. And if you've been gone for a long time, don't worry, we're still in the book of Luke. And we'll probably be there since we're only in the third chapter. We'll be there for a while. So we're going to be looking in the book of Ruth today, and just a little bit of review. We were talking about John the Baptist, and we talked about last week a little bit about the testimony that he gave, that he was not the Christ. He was not Elijah or the prophet of Moses, but he simply was a voice crying in the wilderness. That's found in John 1:23. We're talking about John here today, and we wanted to finish that up. There's a lot of things, and as we're going through the Gospel of Luke, We may be in Luke, and we're looking basically at Luke, but at the same time, there's a harmony of the Gospels. And that's what we're looking at a little bit here, is we have the baptism of John is actually mentioned in all four Gospels. And so all these things are mentioned in there. Not only that, John had some predictions that the Messiah was coming. That's what his voice crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord, because Messiah was coming. And we can look here for just a minute in John's Gospel in chapter 1 and verses, I wrote it down here, yeah, verses 34 and 35. Chapter 1, verse 34 and 35 says this, and he says, I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, he looked upon Jesus as he was walking and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." He was announcing and letting everybody know the Messiah has come.
Right.
And so that was his message, and he was telling them. Not only that, here in Luke chapter 3, and in verse 16, it says, John answered, saying unto them, unto them all, I indeed baptize with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latches of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And we're going to see, I don't think we mentioned that last week, but we'll talk about that. John tells us this is what he's predicting is going to happen. And John baptized with water. But he says when the Lord comes, he's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. That's basically the difference between John's baptism and the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, Jesus never baptized, but people who are baptized after the crucifixion. When we are baptized after the crucifixion, the first thing we have to do is be born again.
Right.
And when we're born again, that's when the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Now, at the time of John, when John baptized, people weren't baptized with the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, some of his disciples, we can read in the book of Acts, said, we don't know anything of the Holy Spirit. And so he wasn't teaching that he was giving them the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't come until after Jesus was crucified, risen, and we know on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down upon the apostles, and they went out and baptized. Peter preached, and people were baptized, and at that time, those people after that time were baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was then in their lives and working in our lives. And sometimes we don't realize it, but he is working in us. He wants to give us guidance and direction in our life and all these, and to guide us in the things of Christ. And matter of fact, Jesus said in the Gospel of John that when he left, the Holy Spirit would come and he would guide us in all truth. And so that's what the Holy Spirit does. And so that did happen on the day of Pentecost. Then you have that last part of that. It says that, verse 16 again, it says the Holy Ghost, he would be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Well, of course, on the day of Pentecost, a tongue of fire was upon the people. But that wasn't the fire he's talking about here. He's talking about a fire of judgment. One day there's going to be a fire of judgment upon this earth, and that's what Christ is going to bring, and he will baptize. Now, when we say baptize, we're meaning emerged. We're in that. The Holy Spirit has emerged us in us, and one day that fire is going to come in judgment. And so anyway, that's what John was predicting. Those are the predictions that John the Baptist was predicting. And not only that, we find in John chapter, or excuse me, Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 talks about, and I think this is where we were talking about last week a little bit. Luke chapter 7 and verse 19. And it says there, and John called unto the two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we another? This is the time that John's in prison. He's been put in prison because of Herodias, King Philip's wife that Herod married, she was very angry at John because John had told Herod that he was doing wrong. He was a sinner because of Herodias. And of course, that made her mad, and she was after him. So I think we talked about a little bit, that his daughter, or her daughter, danced before Herod. And Herod, being the drunk he was, and in this party that he was given and everything, he made that she did such a good thing in her dance or whatever it was, that he would give her a third of the kingdom or whatever she wanted. Well, her mother had already told her, if you get a request like that, if Herod gives you an opportunity like that, I want the head of John. So we know the story. John here is now in prison here in chapter 7 of Luke, and as he's there in prison, he's a human. He's human just like us. And sometimes we have doubts. Was this happening? Sometimes that's why Satan, I believe, likes to work in our minds, especially as a Christian. He wants to bring in doubts in our minds of our salvation, of who really Jesus is. All these things we've studied and everything. There are times that we have doubts, and John was having a doubt at this time. So he sent to some of his disciples to go to Jesus and ask him. Is he the Christ, or should we look for another one? And he knew that he knew, and he'd seen all the things that he'd seen. But you know, when you're in prison, and I don't know if he hadn't ate for a few days or what it was, but he was very low. And Satan knows the time to tempt us in our doubt. So the Bible tells us here in verse 20 of John chapter 7, it says, when the men were come unto him, they said, John hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? And in the same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and evil spirits, and unto many that were blind given sight. And Jesus answered and said unto him, go your way, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, and the leopards are cleansed, and the deaf and death are raised. To the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And so they had this message to go back and to give to John. And then in this here particular verse of Scripture, he's also going to show us, and Jesus is going to talk about John. We're going to come to that in just a little bit. So here he is, and he's John the Baptist is there in prison. But these disciples that came, they had seen all these things that Jesus did. He had raised the dead. He had healed the leopards. All these things were being done. And so as we get in today's lessons, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before your throne today, we are thankful that we have your word that gives us guidance and direction. Father, I pray that you would just be with each and every one of us this morning. Lord, you know our needs. You know the needs of each one of our hearts. Father, I pray this morning that you would meet that need for us. Father, we have physical problems. We have things that are going through our minds that we need to take care of, and Lord, things that we need to do. And Lord, but we want to focus on you this morning. So, Father, I pray that you help us here in this time of Bible study and Sunday school, that, Lord, we would keep our minds on you. Allow the Holy Spirit to work, Lord. I do pray that you be with the services that come, be with our pastor. And Father, I pray you give him the words that we need, that you might be glorified. We're thankful, Lord, that we can rest upon your word today. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. So Jesus was telling John, encouraging him here, that it was all right in his doubt. He wanted to assure him that he was the Messiah. He wanted to assure him that he didn't have anything to worry about, because what Jesus was doing was miracle after miracle. The blind see, the lame walk, the leopards are cleansed, and the deaf were able to hear, and the dead were risen. So many things were happening here. And then in the next part of this verse of Scripture, John is honored here by the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about him. He tells him it kind of gives us an instruction who this man is a little bit. And he says in verse 24, it says, when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. He said, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are in gorgeously apparel and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, much more than a prophet. We looked at the prophecies that he has prophesied. But Jesus says he's much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is none a greater the prophet than John the Baptist. He told us right there he was John the Baptist. It takes them about 400, 500, maybe 1,000 years before they realized they were Baptists. That's another thing. But anyway, we went through, I gave you the book of Trail of Blood and all those things, and people just, they called them by their whatever name their group was, but they were Baptists. Jesus said he's John the Baptist. I don't know. I sometimes people call me a Baptist brighter, but I believe they're Baptists. I mean, John was a Baptist. When we were baptized, we're baptized. That's important. It's not how we get to heaven. We know there's only one way to heaven. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. But anyway, he called him John the Baptist here. He said, he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater. This says, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. In other words, he didn't raise John above anybody else, but he said, there's others, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And says, all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized baptism of John, but the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against them, being not baptized of him. So anyway, I was going to my Baptist brighter thing. Let me get that finished. When we sat down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, the bride's coming in. You know what? The bride is, I believe, is Baptist. I know other people don't believe that and all that stuff. But anyway, but there's guests at the wedding supper. Those guests are people that are not Baptists, basically. There's a lot of people that are saved today in this world, but they haven't seen the truth, I think, in God's word. Okay? So anyway, that's... And the preacher will probably shoot me later, but that's all right. I believe I'm a Baptist. When I left the Catholic Church, I left the Catholic Church for a reason. There was some things that I knew they weren't doing, and I seen that what the Word of God said, and I just believed the Word of God. But anyway, so here Jesus praises John. And told him that he was, Jesus was indeed the Messiah. We can look at Matthew chapter 11. The book of Matthew has a lot of parallel here. Like I said, it's a synoptic gospel. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the synoptic gospel. John's the gospel that kind of stands alone, because it's the gospel of love. Matthew chapter 11. Let's look at what he says here. And and verses 2 through 6. And it says, Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto them, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? It's basically the same thing the other said. And it said, and Jesus answered and said unto him, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. And the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me. And so he's telling John he's blessed because he's really not offended in him. He knows that he's the Messiah, and John, a few days after this, is going to lose his head. And John was in prison. He was martyred because we find that in Mark chapter 6. It's Matthew. Mark is the next book there. Not too far, too many pages back here. My pages are sticking together. This is still too new of a Bible. Sometimes they're new. That happens. Okay, in chapter 6 and verse 17, I think we may have looked at this last week. It says, and Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold on John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. And in verse 18 says, and John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. And of course that started a quarrel in verse 19 with Herodias. Anyway, so he ends up losing his head because of this evil woman and Herod not wanting to repent of his sins. And so John's martyred. And then the next thing we see here in Luke's gospel that we want to take a look at this morning is the baptism of Jesus. Jesus comes to John for baptism. It says in verse 21 of Luke chapter 3, it says, now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and praying, and the heavens was opened. Now, one thing we'll look at this, Jesus came to John. We're going to look at it in a couple of other places here. I'm going to go to the Gospel of John also with this. But there's some interesting things here. It says in this verse, it says, when many people were baptized. It's just a little bit different in some of the other Gospels. Let's look at Matthew chapter 3 first before we go to John's Gospel. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, and let's see, I wrote the verse down here somewhere, verses 14 through 21, there we go, verse 14, chapter 3, 14, okay, in verse 14 it says, I'll go back to 13. Then came Jesus in the Galilee from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me? And this is very important here. Matthew has this here in his gospel. You notice John, or in Luke's gospel, it was pretty short. Jesus came and other people were being baptized. Jesus prayed. That's important. We'll get back to that in a minute. But here in Matthew's gospel, it says Jesus, John forbade him. He didn't want to baptize him because he felt like he was in need of baptism, and he says that. And it says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be now, to be so now, for this it became us to fulfill all righteousness. Okay, this was for a purpose. Jesus really didn't need to be baptized as John, but there's a reason in this. I believe one of the reasons is to show us the obedience of God's command. Obedience of God's command. When we baptize today, we say in the obedience of God's command. That's the reason why people need to follow the Lord in baptism. People are, like I said before, people are saved and they can go to heaven. You're going to be a part of that crowd that's in heaven. Okay, to be a part of the bride, Jesus says that he died for the bride. I'll get back to that. He's telling them here that he needed to be obedient. We need to be obedient. A lot of times people get saved and they never follow the Lord in baptism. The reason why we need to follow the Lord in baptism is the obedience to his command. That's what he says in Matthew 28 when he tells them to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Why? To obey, to show our obedience to God, to what God has done for us. Then we follow him in obedience. It's not to get saved. The Bible plainly tells us that when we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. We're saved. But baptism is an obedience of his command. Right. And I believe this is what John was. He forbid Jesus to do it, but Jesus said, let it be done, because and John obeyed Jesus, and Jesus was obeying what his Father sent him there to do, to be baptized. He said, suffer it not, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness, to do the right thing, basically. And he said, then he suffered him, and Jesus went, he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The baptism of John, when Jesus was baptized here, and when he was baptized, God was putting his approval on baptism. He said, here the Holy Spirit came down, the Lord Jesus Christ was there, the second person of the Trinity, and God spoke. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So I believe when a person follows the Lord in believer's baptism, God's well pleased with you. He's well pleased with you, and God's going to listen to you, and he's going to hear your prayers. Not that he doesn't hear other people that are saved. He'll hear us, but this is a sign that I believe that God has given us. And so he's identifying. Also, baptism is an identification. And it says in the obedience of his command, we're identified with three things. These are found in the Old Testament. The prophet, the priest, the king. We're identified with them. And we're many times there was an anointing. And it talks about the anointing being some anointings like the prophet, sometimes we're anointed with oil. Now, David, when he became king, Samuel anointed him with oil and king. But the priest is one that actually all three of them, in different places, the priest was anointed with water. You know, they washed Aaron, and they anointed him with water, and then they also anointed him with oil. So he was, but there's only one of these anointings that was done that Jesus did, and that was with blood. Now the priest anointed with blood as he sprinkled the altars with blood and all these things, but Jesus anointed us with his blood. These were fulfilled. We can see here in John and Matthew chapter 3 again. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15. I think we've already read it, but we'll read it again. And Jesus said, answered and said unto him, "Suffer it to be now, for thus it must become us that fulfill all righteousness." So he was going to be baptized with water at that time. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:16, we see here Jesus was baptized, and straightway the Holy Spirit came upon him. And then in Matthew chapter 26, we're going to see here in verse 28, it says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which has been shed for many and for the remission of sin." So his blood's being shed for the remission of sin. So in the baptism, all those things were represented. And I believe it's interesting that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all there at the baptism of the Lord. So we're there. It's identified, that was the, turn my page back here, those were the three identifying things of the Old Testament. Then the second thing, he was identified with the message of John. Let's look at in John's Gospel. That's where I was going to go first. I would have came backwards. Anyway. The Gospel of John, and in verses 31 through 34, it says here, that's right, chapter. Okay, 31 through 34, John 1, it says, "I knew him not, but he that should be made manifested to Israel before I am come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from the heavens like a dove and abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same saith unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." And so this is a record, the message that John gave. This was truly the Son of God. The third identification here, he identified with Israel in John chapter 1. When through this baptism, Jesus was identifying with Israel. And John chapter 1 and verse 11 here says, "And he came to his own, and his own received him not." He was identifying with Israel. He came to them. He came to them, but they received him not. And then he the fourth thing was he identified with sinners. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53, that's a very familiar portion of Scripture. The repentance of David. My fat fingers will get there. Isaiah 53, and we're going to read in verse 12. And it says here in verse 12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoils with the strong. And because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is prophecy. In the book of Isaiah, tells what he's going to do. And so that, again, his baptism identifies with sinners. And then also in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 says this. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So he made the righteousness of God in him. That identifies us with Christ. And so the Trinity is seen in all these, in all the verses, as are already read in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, and in Luke chapter 3, verse 22. God himself was there at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, all three of them, the Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Father. So baptism is important. Sometimes people today, we kind of got into easy believism. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's true, for by grace are you saved. But if you want to continue on with the Lord, we need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Believer's baptism. So anyway, the next part here in the Gospel of Luke that we're looking at, all of a sudden, this is kind of an interesting thing, I thought. It finished with the baptism of John. Now, the other Gospels, after that, Jesus goes in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And that's a little bit further here in the book of the Gospel of Luke. But anyway, right after this, in verse 23, it says, Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Helena. The genealogy can be found there in the book of Matthew, and gives that genealogy of Joseph. And last Wednesday night when I was preaching, I made a mention of a guy I had known in Minnesota that told me that Jesus was not a Jew. That, and of course, he was born of God. His mother definitely was a Jew, and in the genealogies we find out. They also have the genealogy of Joseph. There's something we need to realize. We're looking at genealogies. If you ever read through the genealogies, you're going to find some Gentiles in there. You're going to find some people that were really sinners and really maybe even lost, I don't know, in the genealogies of the Lord of Joseph and Mary. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And so, as we look at the genealogy, I'm out of time. We'll have to do that next week, but we'll look at that. The genealogies are interesting because, like the man. Let me get back to my story there. The guy in Minneapolis that I was talking to, and this is years ago, told me that Jesus was not a Jew. Well, but his idea was that Jesus was a son of a Roman soldier and all kinds of things. I didn't go into all that. He was completely off. Now, Jesus was not 100% Jew because he was God. He was God. So when you go through the genealogies, you kind of have to understand that. We'll be looking at that a little bit more next week and hopefully give you a little bit more understanding. At least I hope I get more understanding of it myself. But anyway, he's the Son of God. And so a lot of things with the genealogies you can find, maybe a little, oops, I don't know if that was right or not. His tribe of Judah. The Bible plainly tells us in the book of Revelation, he was the lion of the tribe of Judah. Well, Mary was of the Levite tribe. Joseph was of the tribe of Judah. And so how did Jesus become the lion of the tribe of Judah? He was adopted into his family. Everywhere you go, you'll find Joseph. Wasn't he the son of Jesus? Wasn't he the son of Joseph? He was adopted into the family. And when you're adopted into a family, you have all the rights. And we read that in the book of Leviticus. We'll look at that later. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we're thankful for this day you've given us. We ask now that you would just guide us and direct us in your word as we look into it, that we might honor and glorify you in all the things we say. I ask, Lord, you be with the service to come. Be with our pastor. Help him to be guided and directed by your word today. And the Holy Spirit is upon him. Lord, I ask that you'd open our ears that we might be able to hear. But Lord, most of all, open our hearts that we'd receive your word. Father, we want to hear from you today. We just ask that you'd have your will and way in the services that come now. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.